Hello, this is Thompson Smiley with one of those periodic incidents when we take our monthly column in the Louisville magazine, Smiley's Picks, go into the studios at WUOL and incarnate some of the people who feature in its pages. This morning, I'm delighted to have with me two old friends and fine guests, James Reitmeier, most of you know through his work at St. Francis in the Field, and John Austin Clark, one of the co-founders of Bourbon Baroque, a small ensemble which is making an extraordinary name for itself in this community. Gentlemen, you are cooperating, are you not? The buzzword in the arts these days. You are cooperating in a performance on November 6th. Austin, you're first up. Tell us about it.
Well, we are joining forces with the Louisville Choral Arts Society, like you said, on Sunday, November 6th, and performing a program of music from death to life. And it's going to be really exciting. And as you said, we are typically a small ensemble, but we are expanding our forces to a large, very standard Baroque orchestra size filled with woodwinds, strings, organ, of course, and we even have a sackbut thrown in.
Brilliant. What's a full-size baroque orchestra, 30?
Not even that. It's typically we can sustain about 20 members, which is great in terms of size and fitting things, and most of the baroque repertoire can be covered by that number.
Jim, talk about the Bach Magnificat. I refer to my copy as Bach's Joyous Magnificat. And my editor said, well, you know, what's so joyous about a piece of church music? But this really is an extraordinary composition.
It is indeed. It's as joyous as you can get. Yeah. It's full of dance music, lively tempos, bright trumpets, just setting off of... The Magnificat, of course, is the setting of the text, the Song of Mary, from the Bible, when Mary finds out she's going to be the mother of Jesus, she's very excited, and she's filled with emotion. This is the life part of this concert. As Austin said, we begin with music of death. Whereas the Choral Arts Society is performing Henry Purcell's funeral music for Queen Mary, written when Queen Mary unexpectedly died of smallpox in 1694. She laid in state until March of 95, wow. And Purcell had some time to write some music, which he did.
Plenty of time.
So he wrote some funeral music, and it's quite lovely. So in contrast to that, then, that's the music of death, quite appropriate for the Sunday following All Saints. Then we turn the page and celebrate the gift of life as well, and this beautiful, joyous Magnificat of Bach, one of his great works, for sure.
Austin, there's of course, it's absolutely up your street, Bach being high Baroque, but there's an extraordinary burgeoning of interest, is there not, in Baroque at the moment? And I think you, plural, have been very smart to write that. So where does Bach fit into your kind of canon of expectations? What is your particular pleasure in doing this piece?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, we are relatively new on the scene, and performing the canon, as you mentioned, is really important for us as an ensemble, because for the Louisville community, in order for us to sort of educate what it is to be Baroque, performing these really well-known works is extremely important. Works like Bach's Magnificat, Handel's Messiah. This past summer we did the Summer Concerto from Vivaldi's Four Seasons. Material like that is really important. It's really exciting. But what's great about this concert is that we're also joining forces with the Choral Arts Society and performing a lesser-known work, the Purcell piece, in addition to a really sort of very voluminous Death March from Saul as well by Handel. The greater known works are important for us to continually perform, although it takes a lot of planning and a lot of work because of the number of forces. But it's extremely important and important for us to consistently do that throughout our season.
What I think is so clever is the way both of you, I think, have in your time exploited unconventional performing venues. I've long been of the opinion that if people won't come and see concerts or won't come downtown to the Whitney, then you have to go and perform where the people are. And you've both been skillful at doing that. Jim, you and I have worked together out at St. Francis of the Field. And I heard, Austin, I've heard you in so many venues around town, from Udale down to suburban settings. I find St. Martin of Tours an extraordinarily happy place to listen. So talk to me, please, if you would, Austin, as a performer.
Well, the acoustic of St. Martin's is is, in acoustical terms, a rather wet space. It's a very boomy acoustic, and so we have this huge force, which is extremely appropriate for that church. One thing, you know, we do like to perform in a variety of venues, but there's one thing that is very hard to achieve in our sort of variety of venues is the acoustic. And acoustic's extremely important for our instruments. It really is almost 60% of the deal with the performance of these specific period instruments. And so while we're performing in a standard traditional place, a church, the acoustic is something you can't replicate in a bar or a barn or outside, definitely, of course. So this, it's a really perfect setting for this concert, from the slow dirge of a death march to the joyous music that culminates in the final piece of the program, the Magnificat.
I think also, don't you agree, Jim, perhaps that churches create their own acoustics and can vary. I mean, I was reflecting on the month of December when we've carol concerts all over town, not involving you chaps, I won't dwell on it, but from the sort of soaring spaces of the Cathedral, the Assumption creates one kind of acoustic.
Right.
And then the very sort of shoebox shape of the Episcopal Cathedral, the Protestant Cathedral on Second Street,
right.
That's a different, more intimate acoustic, where you, Austin, sounded very great. On a sad occasion a few weeks back. So would you like to talk about this thing of church acoustics?
So absolutely important, any acoustics, church or otherwise, that even more so than with instruments, the chorus depends entirely on the room. If you think of it, a chorus in a vacuum would have no sound at all. Think about the violin, the box of the violin. The building is the box for the chorus, and it's absolutely critical that you have a good acoustic.
And by a good acoustic, we mean a certain amount of resonance.
A certain amount, and it can be too much. You're right to say that different rooms have a different level or different level of resonance, and it's important that you choose a room for the music that you're performing.
And once or twice in history, isn't it true, for example, Monteverdi, didn't he write for the specific acoustic of specific theatres? So the Monteverdi polyphony is meant to be answered from different chapels around the length. Do you consider which church, Austin, when you're doing a piece like this, do you consider in advance which church would be best for it, or which place, or does the church come first?
Well, it's chicken or the egg sometimes, and sometimes, for example, we ran into a concert last season that was going to conflict with Thunder River Louisville, so we had to quickly find another venue. But there are a variety of choices. I know for this specific concert, it's almost unnecessary for me to haul my harpsichord to the venue we are going to be performing in for this choral arts concert, because it is such a huge acoustic that most of the audience wouldn't really get the intimacy of that instrument. So for this concert, I will be playing organ continuo.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one variable that definitely we have to consider when it comes to the venue choice.
Is it not true, though, Jim, theology plays a part in this, doesn't it? I mean, the early music was generally sung behind a rood screen or something called a choir screen, and the choir was hidden, but all the noise came from this far end of this huge Gothic cathedral. And then with the Reformation, the pulpit was set halfway down the aisle, again,
right,
for verbal acoustic reasons,
right,
and music came, as it were, more out into the open. So you have to shop around a bit.
Absolutely.
I found in my limited experience of concerts at St. Martin in the Fields, it's an ideal acoustic. So let's do some commercial stuff here. The concert is at 5 o'clock on Sunday, November 6th at St. Martin of Tours Church, which is at 639 South Shelby Street. And the church itself is a very lively example of High Catholic architecture, so even if your attention should stray for a moment, which is unlikely, you'll still have an entertaining time. The number to call for tickets is 228-1176, 228-1176. And my guests have been Jim Reitmeier with the Louisville Choral Arts Society and Austin Clark with Bourbon Baroque, who together will be performing a concert of Bach's Magnificat and Purcell's Music for the Funeral of Queen Mary on Sunday, November 6th at 5 o'clock. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you
very much.